The fiesta is a Spanish tradition that is famous worldwide, and yet it's not fully understood. It's a concept, and I use that term on purpose, that is far more complex and far more deeply rooted than most people realize. Spain has been associated with the fiesta for a very long time. For example, Hemingway's novel The Sun Also Rises, which was published all the way back in 1926, has to be one of the first major introducers of this wonderful world of fiestas to the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, the book has sometimes even been published under the title Fiesta. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this story, the first half of the book transpires in Paris, but the second half takes place in what, at least back then, was the sleepy city of Pamplona. Today it is the capital of the region of Navarre in the north of Spain. And this took place during the intense San Fermin fiestas, which explode every month of July. And it's because of this best-selling work, at least initially, that Pamplona and San Fermin sort of got put on the map to many who would otherwise not know anything about them. So, in a certain way, we can say that Hemingway almost single-handedly made that event an international hit and turned the running of the bulls, the crazy running of the bulls, into possibly one of the most thrilling 3 minutes anywhere in the world. And yet, it's not the only fiesta in Spain by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it's not even the only one to have a running of the bulls. There are several places where that happens. These festivities are everywhere. You see, all villages, towns, and cities in Spain, or if not all, 99%, I'm willing to say, have their own local fiestas. Many have at least one, but many have more than that. Two, three, four that take place at different times of the year. Now, most fiestas, and many of the most popular ones, are generally held in the summer, often in July, August, and September, when the towns are full of visitors or family members who have come from the cities. But then there's often this other set of festivities, of fiestas, which are held in what I call the off-peak season, late fall, winter, spring. These are ones where most of the celebrants are the locals. And in a certain way, that makes them sort of preserve their authenticity. There's sort of a more genuine atmosphere, genuine feel to them. They're interesting to check out. So, what do people do at these fiestas? Well, many small town fiestas include sort of your run-of-the-mill activities, the fun fair, with the games and the rides for people of all ages, the food stands, the booths where you can sort of test your skill at something, and there's always a traveling orchestra playing loud music, live music blaring all night long until dawn. Then there's the traditional religious processions where the residents will accompany or parade a statue or image of the local patron saint, or it could be a type of Virgin Mary or Jesus, and they go around the town. And that's just sort of what you find in many of them, but it's just naming a few. Because even though all these fiestas have a lot of similar traits, most boast something special, something particular, something that sets them apart from the rest. And they can be really cool, and they can also be really sort of bizarre. Bizarre and cool at the same time. Take, for example, Jaramplas, which is going on as we speak. In the town of Piornal, in sort of the hilly or the northern hills of the province of Cáceres, which is in the region of Extremadura, we're talking about a place that's about 200 kilometers due west of Madrid. A very unusual tradition takes place every 19th and 20th of January. The 20th is the feast of Saint Sebastian, the patron saint of the town. That's when the fellow that you see in the picture for this podcast, that curious looking guy known as the Jaramplas, ventures out into the street and sets up next to the church where the townspeople proceed to pelt him with vegetables. mainly turnips. And I'm not talking about those dainty sort of pinkish little white turnips that you can buy at the supermarket. We're talking about mighty large specimens of produce, the size of baseballs, even softballs, and almost as hard. In fact, it's the size, range, and volume of these projectiles, that have forced the organizers to equip the individual with as much protection as possible, thank God. And it consists mainly of fiberglass. It's sort of a veritable suit of modern armor, and it's covered with strips of colorful cloth and fabric. And then you have the mask, probably the most fascinating component here. It's just one giant piece of headgear in the shape of a cone, sort of like a dunce cap that you might see from the Inquisition. Its facial features include a big nose, fierce-looking fangs, and two large horns. It's almost demonic. The getup is also horrifically heavy, weighing somewhere in the neighborhood of 43 kilos in all. Yes, we're talking 95 pounds of outfit that the person has to carry around to prevent from being covered in welts. Now, what is this famous charampla supposed to symbolize? Now, that's a good question. And I say that because, in part, there's no really easy answer to this, because there are a lot of theories. Now, the most common belief is that it originally was supposed to be something like evil personified in the body of a livestock rustler, a cattle thief, and therefore a person especially despised by the local population because their livelihood depended on that business. So they punish him by throwing turnips at him, which obviously I guess are supposed to represent stone. But there are other theories. Some people say it's supposed to be a Christian martyr. Others say it's Old Man Winter. Another one says it could be the Black Death, or also a potential prisoner from the Inquisition. The outfit worn just confuses the matter even more, since, in my opinion, it sort of reminds us of something almost pagan, almost from before the days of the Romans, nothing really resembling any of the possibilities that I've mentioned, but that's what people say. It's supposed to be a cattle thief. If this is all a bit vague, it's because there seems to be a scarcity of concrete sources that make reference to it. You'd think that there would be some mention of it somewhere in some dusty basement of the town hall where these chronicles are always kept. But in reality, there's very little. Now, this may be because that this was a community. This was a fairly isolated community for centuries, and maybe the custom was just little more than a bit of diversion during the winter or sort of a local tradition that really wasn't that important, so no one really bothered to write about it. But it also may have been the result of a fire that burned down the village scribe's house in 1741, and with it almost all written testimony of the village before that year. Now, today it's mostly just entertainment. It's not representing anything, but if you want it to symbolize something, I guess it's supposed to be anything that you want to get rid of, something that is causing you harm or problems or frustration in your life. But anyway, despite the depiction of an undesirable member of society, today, to suit up in the costume as charamplas and to be lapidated with hard, high-velocity produce has become quite possibly the highest honor in the town. And the waiting list runs for decades. According to the town hall's website, the list goes until 2048. So if you want to do that one time, be prepared to, well, probably try somewhere else. Anyway, on January 19th, the charamplas comes out once in the morning and then later in the afternoon. And then the next day, January 20th, the Feast of Saint Sebastian, he comes out again in the morning and twice in the afternoon. He emerges from the church, banging on a drum that's sort of hanging around his neck. And as he does this, he gets bombarded, almost relentlessly. And it goes on and on and on. And once it's over, they take off the headgear, and the man gets sort of tossed up and down by the crowd as a sign of admiration. But that's not the only thing they do at this fiesta. Other traditions include the religious procession of Saint Sebastian, whose martyrdom was the result of a flood of arrows getting shot into his body. And then there are other festivities like the ronda, which is when musicians go around the town into the different bars and they have their Spanish guitars and they sing songs. And then people eat the famous migas, which is a typical dish from the region of Extremadura. Well, it's actually typical in a lot of parts of Spain. This is sort of classic, humble cuisine from the country. It's made from breadcrumbs and paprika and bits of chorizo and other cured meats. It's very tasty, but it's very basic, classic country fare. And obviously, then you'll have your wine and your dancing and your music and all kinds of celebrating. It will go on and on. What better way to spend the chilly January evenings in the rural hills of Spain? The Jaramplas, a fascinating fiesta and just another amazing side of Spain's multicultural heritage. Please go check it out if you ever get the chance. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon by hitting the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.